The Bible reading is Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If there's one thing about this church which I carry with me, it's the smile in my heart that has been put there by the people who I know in this body of Christians. It's absolutely wonderful. It really is. I've been to numbers of different fellowships. I don't like to call us a church. There are various ways of looking at it, but we are the church, the whole blooming lot, the whole world. And we shouldn't think of ourselves as being separate from anybody else who believes and trusts in our Lord Jesus. Well, that was interesting. Right, sorry. But it's terrific to take with you the love during the week, if you don't see anybody, that emanates from people here. I have not met it so much anywhere else, any other fellowships that I've been in. And I'm just saying it to encourage us, because it's the truth. Bless you. Yes, she can. If she wants to applaud, get a little applaud. It's all right. I'll see you afterwards. Okay. Yeah, press it. Thank you. Ooh. It started. Now then, open my Bible. That's it. Lovely. We've been through four quite heavy chapters of Romans, the letter to the Roman Christians, and anybody else who was part and parcel of their fellowship before they became a Christian. Because you've got to come to a point, having not been a Christian, where you suddenly become a Christian. Or let's put it another way. You've got to come to a point pre-birth where you suddenly realize that Jesus is the one you need for the rest of your life and then some. And that pre-birth instant is something that I want us to remember today. Brian's told us about his, when suddenly he realized that the figure on the cross was there for him. And he saw him. And that's just a wonderful thing to remember. But it's the same for everybody who eventually comes to know Jesus. Gradually, I'm becoming to know Nichols. And it really makes me happy. But before that, I only sort of just saw him as a figure. Now it's completely different. And the knowing Jesus and believing in him, trusting in him, not just, you know, you can believe in Father Christmas, can't you? I'm sure you do. Do you? But believing in somebody in that they were alive is thoroughly different. I believe in King Henry VIII, but I don't know him. That pre-birth instant is a very important time when the Holy Spirit speaks to your soul. I don't like using the word heart. I'm too biologically informed. Do you understand me? I hope some of you share that weakness. The thing is, he speaks into you yourself, touches you, and suddenly you realize that the stories that you've heard over and over again sometimes, or perhaps for the first time, it sounds like it's inside you. And you've got to do something about it. And praise God, at some stage in my eighth year, I did something about it. And said, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. But everybody has to do that to actually know Jesus. Because then, at that time, as we read in this reading, the Holy Spirit is there in you. Now, most space scientists, I'm not reading from my notes, all right? I've got those still to do. 4 minutes, right. Most space scientists will say that there is no evidence of anything else apart from what we can measure with our instruments. And they're pretty good instruments. We can tell that stars billions of years away have actually got planets going around them. We can't see the planets, but we can detect that they're there. Yeah, we've got good instruments. We've got instruments that can see inside our bowel and inside our head without any cuts or anything. I've just gone through a little bit of surgery and I had 14 clips. This young lady had how many? 48. She told me just before this, I've got cripes. I was frightened when I went to the surgery and I had 14 to take out. But my goodness, when the Holy Spirit comes, there's no problem with surgery. The only problem is if we want to hear. If we want to know God. Yeah, these four chapters are quite heavy teaching about the sin of our human race and God's own righteousness and the vital role of faith in our relationship with God. That is real trust. I'm sure that my husky trusts our family members. He stands there, and you might be going to tread on his foot, but he stands there. Morning, Dad. And it's lovely, because you know that that animal totally has faith in you. Does he worry during the day? Am I going to get my tea? Will they give me my tea? Because he knows. That's what happens. He can't see it with his eyes, but he knows. And that's exactly how it is with us and with God. If we trust him, we trust him for all time, for everything. even when the sky is very, very dark in our life. It's serious enough to know that without any real faith, there can be no real relationship. And now when we come to the fifth chapter of Romans, we can see that without faith in Jesus, we are lost, banned from God's presence, not in his kingdom. But everybody, as I said, who has come to know Jesus as one, their friend, two, their saviour, and three, their God, not in any order. Everybody who's done that has had to go through the new birth. I'm sorry if you don't think that's accurate, but that's what Jesus said. And if we believe in Jesus, then we go by what he says. Unless a person is born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's not a magic trick. It's the Holy Spirit coming into you because you asked and said, I believe. This is the only way that God can accept us. The only way that he has provided access to him and access to the place he lives, which we call heaven. There isn't another way. You can only get to the Father through me, said Jesus. Not through anything else. Not through any mysticism. Not through any other religion. But we don't think of what people call Christianity as being a religion. It is simply knowing the truth, who is Jesus. And this is the only way that every person on earth can have forgiveness of what they have done wrong against God. There is no other way. If you believe the things that Jesus says and you think they are good, and C.S. Lewis wrote, The Ring of Truth. And when I hear and when I read what Jesus says, it just feels so right. I don't have a problem with it at all. And it's the only way that we can know the Father, through him and through his loving and living Spirit being with us and in us. I've got 9.5 minutes. It's all right, it's grand. Can we look at this justified bit? How can you be justified? What's it mean? Well, in common parlance, it means justify hadn't sinned. I'll say that again. Justify hadn't sinned. That's how much your sin is got rid of. It's as if it had never been done. Because we have been justified. Because we have been justified. You know, every verb has a tense, hasn't it? Past, present, or future. This is present perfect passive, and it means it's for all time, whatever time of life I'm in at the moment. It's an action completed on the cross, but it's relevant now. Whatever your now is. And your now is going to continue until you're dying and you go beyond it. So this peace with God, which we have because we are justified, we are made right, we are put right, we are accepted by God. This is not just at the time that we become newborn, as we say, a Christian, a follower of Jesus. How would it be if we concentrate on our failures, of which one has many? How could we be certain of our salvation? Surely God can't keep forgiving us, can he? Well, if he didn't, if it wasn't a permanent thing, then no. But it is. It's always now God's justification. Whenever the now is, that does not mean to say that we can just say, well, I've sinned, yeah, okay, never mind. We've got to keep what used to be called, I don't know if it is now, a short account with God. Yes. A short account. Have I actually said sorry, Lord, for the stuff I've done today? Some of it I can't remember. But have I said sorry for it? I'm really sorry if I haven't. And then you can think of something that you really need to do better at. You need to come to him, not just daily, during the day, usually, don't you? I do. But your salvation, that means your rightness with God and your acceptance by God so that you can know him and have his Holy Spirit in you permanently, is such an important thing to know is the truth. Otherwise, we'd be worried out of our socks because we've done so and so and we've fallen over. Yeah, Peter did. I've never seen him before in my life. What are you talking about, my accent? I don't know Jesus, right? Bog off. Sorry, it's Sunday, isn't it? I shouldn't say that on Sunday. He swore. I don't know what it was he said, but he swore. I don't know the man. And Jesus, so kindly, said after he'd come back to life, picked up his life again, as he said he had the right to, said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. Because I'm sure that Peter thought, I'm not a disciple anymore. I've let my Lord down. Jesus loves all of us all the time, even when we sin. We can know now that we are right with God all the time. If you have already come to the Lord and you know Jesus, but you found that you're you're not being in contact with him. Anything like you think is good. If you are married and you don't think of your spouse throughout the day at some time, you might be very busy, but if you don't think of them, then your love has gone down. And you need for your relationship to bring it back again. To be conscious of that need to share love with your husband or wife. Every day. You've got a certificate, which is the legal bit, but you've also got this big imperative of sharing love on a day-to-day basis. Sharing things, thoughts. That's the real reality. And if you've been there and you've asked Jesus into yourself, and now you're not there very much at all, you still have salvation. That's what this passage is telling us. It's now all the time. It was a new birth, but it's still now. Come back to him. Say, Lord, I've left you alone. Please speak into my life. And if you haven't yet, but you've been thinking about coming to know Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah that God sent for you and me, isn't it about time you did it? How many times have you heard the story? Isn't it about time? You don't know what's going to happen to you the rest of the day. Now is the time to come to the Lord, to ask him to come into you, to renew you, to give you life. So there's two sets of people here this morning, possibly. Those who've come to him and left him alone a bit. Come again. You've already got salvation. But you need the Holy Spirit working in you. If you haven't yet, and you desperately want to, please see him today. Ask him. He's here. He's everywhere. If you want to pray with a Christian friend, do so. There are rooms out there. You can stay in here instead of going for coffee. You can see one of the elders. Come to him before your time expires. It's the most important thing you can do. And I'm right on the button. The Lord bless and guide you now and all the nows that are in the future. Amen.